I'm Brian McCreath at Symphony Hall with Hannu Lintu, who's back here in Boston for the second time now with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Hannu, thank you for a little bit of your time today. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
The first piece on our program is is Metacosmos by Anna Torvaldsdottir. And I have to think, given the way that she talks about her own music, that it has something to do with being on the program with Sibelius. They seem to go together. Or is that just a little too easy?
Well, there is certain bass register darkness and this kind of harmonies that even in Sibelius, when it sounds fast, the harmony is actually proceeds slowly. But otherwise, of course, the texture is entirely different. I mean, it's Torvaldsdottir is full of long notes. You know, it's like Iceland is like that. You know, everything is very horizontal, and you know, it has taken probably 1 million years to develop into what it is, and things are changing slowly. You know, the glaciers and geysers and rocks, and you know, everything is very still somehow. But they are still going somewhere very slowly. And this is what I sense in Torvaldsdottir's piece. But it's not obviously. I mean, what she says herself, it's not about Icelandic countryside or not even being Icelandic, but it's more about something cosmic and going to a black hole, which you can actually feel in it, because there's a very long development. There's a slow introduction, then fast middle section, which obviously culminates into a point where you go through some kind of a black hole. I mean, you go through something which is enigmatic, something which you don't know, and you don't know what is on the other side. And there is something on the other side. I won't tell you what it is, because I don't know what it is, but I'm sure that you feel the arrival, that you arrive somewhere, and it is something different than where you started from. And we can all, you know, think from our personal own perspective what that actually is. You know, we can just listen how it relates to our own arrivals and searchings and, you know, development.
So the piece is one that was only written a couple of years ago. Have you worked with other works of hers? And would you say that Metacosmos is for listeners who haven't heard her music before? Is this a fairly good introduction to her voice?
I have never conducted her pieces before. I know most of them. And before I chose this piece to this concert, actually, I didn't even have any recording of the first performance, which happened in New York with the New York Philharmonic, Jesper Salonen conducting. So I only had the score. And I thought that it might provide a good combination with Sibelius, but I mean, this is how her music is, and I don't know what she herself might think about it, but there is some relation to this Baltic minimalism. There's some relation to composers like Erkki Sventtyr or something which I recognize as a Scandinavian, not only because it's Icelandic, but it speaks in the same language than Baltic and Scandinavian composers have been speaking for a very long time already. But she still has her own personal voice.
The soloist for Prokofiev's second piano concerto is Sung Jin Cho, and I wonder if you've worked with him before. What is it that he's bringing to this piece that is distinctive from other pianists?
This is the first time we are doing this piece together. We have done different repertoire before, and this is the piece he has been now playing recently a little bit more. And we are going to play the same piece in Helsinki with my own orchestra in May, and then take this to Japan tour in beginning of June. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to play this piece exactly now here in Boston. But I'm glad that I'm able to introduce and the BSO are able to introduce this wonderful kid, you know, with especially this piece, because it's incredible the power, the depth he can produce. It's amazing. I mean, it doesn't matter how loud I play the orchestra. He can play even louder, but still maintaining the wonderful deep sound, and of course the technique and everything. The combination of being lyrical and technical and deep at the same time. I think it's something amazing.
And it seems to have a character. The piece itself seems to have a character that depends. Well beyond any soloist's own interpretation. I mean, you have a lot to do with the orchestra to reflect what he's doing as well.
It's a funny piece because basically the soloist is playing all the time. So what actually orchestra is doing, it's accompanying, but it's one of the most colorful and interesting accompaniments there is in the basic concerto literature, piano concerto literature. And especially with a soloist like this who has imaginative tempos and who understands the drama of the piece, because it's the first movement is so tragic. I mean, it's one of the darkest pieces actually which Prokofiev ever wrote. You know, it's about suicide of his best friend. And then two sort of divertissement movements, you know, intermezzo, and you know, it's then this composer suddenly wants to give us a little bit, you know, lighter feeling that we can, you know, breathe freely. And those moments, I think he plays in a wonderful way. The second movement, just as fast as anybody can play, you know, it's incredible. It takes probably only 3 minutes. And then the second intermezzo, which is much heavier in character. And then the last movement, I think, is the only movement which is more symphonic, which has more substance in the form. And the way how he sees that form is very powerful and very convincing.
The Sibelius Second is his most popular symphony of all of them, and so it, in a way, it's not surprising at all that you would come here and you would conduct Sibelius Second. Sure, why not? But I also wonder how deeply this music is rooted in your musical life, or is it even possible that you came to this music kind of later, just counterintuitively, being from Finland?
No, it's not possible. I'm conducting this piece now because the BSO people wanted me to do this piece. I suggested some other symphonies, but the thing is that this is the first piece I ever played in a symphony orchestra. I was 11 years old, and I played cello. And that was the first time I went to a big national youth orchestra, and I still know, you know, all the. I still remember all the fingerings of difficult technical passages, and since that, I mean, you can't avoid it. It has been just part of my life. And then you go to the conducting class, and when you studied with Mr. Panula, you know, the Pope of conducting, and with him, we had to do. Basically, we had, you know, three different segments we needed to do and study simultaneously all the time. Was Viennese classical, especially Haydn and Mozart, not so much Beethoven because he hated Beethoven. Sibelius, of course, because it's our own music, and because it's technically very difficult. I mean, you learn a lot about conducting when you study Sibelius symphonies and when you study his scores, because they are so complicated. And then the third one was contemporary music. So I think all the Finnish conductors, I mean, we have learned to conduct partly through Sibelius symphonies, and something you just can't avoid. There has been a time when I just couldn't stand these pieces at all. You know, I was just so full of Sibelius Second Symphony and Fifth Symphony and First Symphony, and nobody wants to hear number three and number four. And I always suggest them. For instance, now we are going to Japan with my own orchestra, and I said when we started the negotiation that now please, I said to my agent, let's make sure that they don't take symphonies 2 and 5. And what we are doing now, we are doing symphonies 2 and 5. So it's just something which I understand, because they speak international language. I mean, it is something that people in every culture they can understand. And then it's not about Finnish independence, or it's not about, you know, being Finn. They are just wonderful symphonic constructions with beautiful melodic material and powerful climaxes, and in a tradition of Beethoven, I would say, and I understand people love them. And there was a time I think the longest time I have managed to avoid Sibelius' Second Symphony has been 13 months.
Okay, but let me tell you one thing about what I just heard in rehearsal, and I wonder what your reaction to it is. I mean, not only is the piece played by the Boston Symphony kind of on a fairly regular basis, but I played it a lot. I was a trumpet player, and so I know the piece fairly well too. And one thing that really was important in what I heard in rehearsal is, and it only happens a couple of times, maybe three times in the whole symphony, is the silence that arrives in certain places where something completely different happens right after it. Mm-hmm. And something about your timing of that made those moments even more effective than I've kind of experienced them before. Is that conscious, or are you just sort of in the moment?
I know what you're talking about, and those are always some, I never plan them. I mean, I know the potential of those spots. I mean, I know what can be done, and then there are several possibilities always. But I always decide them there on the podium. I sometimes toy with the idea when I study by my desk at home. Oh, here I could maybe wait a little bit or extend this comma a little bit more or emphasize a little bit more this rubato. But I always make the final decision on the spot, right there, and maybe that what makes it a little bit more effective, but it also always surprises the orchestras, because I, unfortunately, I get these ideas sometimes in the middle of the concert, and some orchestras hate it.
Well, yeah, there are rehearsals, but then there's also spontaneity, so we love that too. Well, Hannu Lintu, it's great to have you here, doing Sibelius, doing Thorvaldsdottir, and doing Prokofiev with Songjin Cho. Thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.